This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حتى جاء أهل الحق, until the truth came to him. Of course, the expression here, the truth came to him, is Aisha's way of saying the Quran came to him. And you'll find in the commentaries of several companions that they interchange the word Quran with the truth. And this is very telling for them, because they realize all else is falsehood. All else that they were surrounded by is falsehood, and it cut through all of it and gave them clarity. And so they actually lovingly, and out of their loyalty to the Qur'an, refer to it as the truth. This is actually very telling also for the kind of mentality expected of a Muslim. When he or she hears the word of Allah, their mind is like, we have to get criticism out of our head, we have to get, I'm not sure if this is going to be something I can follow or not. The first thing in your head is, this is the truth, as you're trying to internalize the word of Allah. And that this is the right thing to do. And haqq has several layers of meaning. It doesn't just mean truth, it means that which is rightful. Meaning what's being said is correct also, not just true, but it's also correct. And it's that which should be done. In any case, so she says, until the truth came to him, meaning the Qur'an came to him, وَهُوَ فِي غَارِ حِرَىٰ, while he was in the cave of Hira. فَجَاءَهُ الْمَلَكُ فَقَالَ اِقْرَىٰ. So the angel came to him and said to him, read, اِقْرَىٰ. Iqra in Arabic also means follow along with me, meaning I'll read and you read after me. So that's the implication here. قَالَ مَا أَنَا بِقَارِئِ. The messenger says, I am not someone who's ever read. مَا أَنَا بِقَارِئِ has several layers of meaning, I'll explain those. I can't read at all is one way of translating that. Another way of translating that is, I haven't ever read. I'm not a reader. I've never been one. Another way of translating this, which does not fit the context but grammatically is possible, is I'm not going to read. You can translate ma ana biqari as I'm not going to read. Now some have, in recent times I've seen, some have interpreted this sentence as, no, he knew how to read, he just told the angel I'm not going to do it. That doesn't make any sense to me. The context and the word of the Prophet ﷺ, and then on top of that the word of the Qur'an about the Prophet ﷺ saying that he's an-Nabi al-Ummi, the messenger who can't read, it fits better with the first two. I've never read, and I don't know how. It's not something I do. مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ. فَأَخَذَنِي. So he grabbed me. فَغَطَّنِي. So he enveloped me like a hug. He completely surrounded me. حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّي الْجَهْدَ. Until he exhausted me to the point where I couldn't be exhausted anymore. He physically completely drained the Messenger of Allah with the way that he squeezed him with his hug. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَنِي. Then he let me go. Some have commented on this that it was a heart-to-heart kind of thing. He came in the form of, you know, whatever form he was, and he, you know, the chest held together, and there was kind of some kind of a transfer happening or something. Allahu A'lam. And he grabs him so tight and he lets him go and then says, اقرأ. He says, read again. قُلْتُ مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ. I said to him, I'm not someone who can read. فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَطَّنِ الثَّانِيَ. So he grabbed me, and he hugged me again, and squeezed me again, enveloped me completely the second time around. حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّي الْجَهْدَ. Until I couldn't take it anymore. Until I was not able to bear more. Then he let me go. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَنِي فَقَالَ اقْرَأ. Then he said, read again. فَقُلْتُ مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ. I can't read, I don't know how. فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَطَّنِ الثَّالِثَ. Then he grabbed me again and enveloped me again a third time, and then let me go. فقال, then he said, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Then he said, read and recite in the name of your master who created. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ. He created the human being from something that hangs, or something that clings, something that dangles. اقرأ وربك الأكرم. Read or recite while your master is the most noble and the most dignified. الذي علم بالقلم, the one who taught by the pen. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. He taught the human being what he couldn't possibly have known himself. These few ayat, by the way, in the narration, it's only these ayat. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. خلق الإنسان من علق. اقرأ وربك الأكرم. The narration does not include الذي علم بالقلم. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. In the narration itself, that's not included. But it doesn't have to be included to be understood as part of the narration. You know how you say, well, ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك, etc. came at this time. The idea is you didn't recite the whole thing, but you're referring to it. So this is a reference to the ayat, not all of the ayat that were given. فَرَجَعَ بِهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يَرْجُفُ فُؤَادُهُ. So he came back with that, the words that he was given, the Messenger ﷺ, and his chest was pounding. You know, يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةِ. تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَ. We read those words before. The shaking, the rattling. His chest was rattled. His heart was shaken up. And the fu'ad is also an interesting word. It's used for when you're excited. So his excited heart was palpitating and his chest was beating hard. فَدَخَلَ عَلَى خَدِيجَةَ إِبْنِ خُوَيْلِدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا. So he came into the home and he entered into the company of Khadija radiallahu anha. فَقَالَ زَمِّلُونِي زَمِّلُونِي. He said, just put a blanket over me, put a blanket over me. Just cover me, cover me. Like he's shivering and he just wants to be covered. فَزَمَّلُوهُ حَتَّى ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ الرَّوْعُ. So they covered him, meaning she covered him, until the horror and the shock and the fear of what had just happened to him kind of went away a little bit. He calmed down a little bit. فَقَالَ لِخَدِيجَةَ وَأَخْبَرَهَا الْخَبَرَ. So he started talking to Khadija and told her what had happened. لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. He said, I'm so scared for myself right now. I don't know what's happening. And he's terrified for himself. فَقَالَتْ خَدِيجَةُ كَلَّا. She said, no. You have no reason to be terrified. Because I mean, being visited by Angel Jibreel seeing him is tough enough. By the way, on his way down from the mountain, he looked up, and the Quran says, لَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ. That he saw him take over the entire horizon. Jibreel alayhi salam, you couldn't see the sky. The messenger could not see the sky. He only saw Jibreel alayhi salam. So he's already terrified from the hugs that he received and the commandment that he received, and he's not sure what's happening. As he's coming down, he sees the angel take over the entire sky. That's hard to believe. And by the way, this kind of thing, if you experience, not that you're going to receive revelation, but imagine a human being seeing an angel take over the entire sky. What would you think? You would actually think, this can't be happening. Something is wrong with me. I think I've lost my mind. Actually, this is why one of the earliest revelations to the Prophet himself, for himself, was Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Notice qalam again, like in this passage. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. You're not insane. This is not you going insane. This is in fact happening. The messenger himself had to believe this is actually happening. This was too intense for him to even accept at first exposure. This is why Quran says, like I was telling you yesterday, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. The messenger himself had to come to believe in what was happening to him, what was sent down to him from his master, and then by extension the believers. So this is his journey to faith. This is the journey of our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to faith. And so he says, I'm scared for myself. فَقَالَتْ خَدِيجَةُ كَلَّا. She says, no, you have no reason to be scared. It's remarkable. The one who consoles all of humanity, this woman is now going to console him. Radiallahu ta'ala anha. The one who takes all, Allah gave him the words, and Allah gave him the counsel that gives us relief. And our mother Khadija is giving him relief. You know, think of her maqam, think of her station. That at that time Allah made her, you know, his security. Literally the words of Allah, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. So you can find tranquility and peace and calm in your spouses, is being materialized by what Khadija is about to do now. She says, كَلَّا. No, not at all. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, مَا يُخْزِيكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا. Allah would never humiliate you. He didn't say Allah is going to humiliate me. But she's like, Allah would never do anything, let anything bad ever happen to you. He would never dishonor you. And then she gives her reasons. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمُ. You're the kind of person who tries to keep family relations together. Let's hold on for a second. What does that mean, keep family relations together? Who is family with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? People like Abu Lahab, people like Abu Jahl, people like, you know, these are the kinds of people he has in his family. They're not easy people to keep as family. You might have a difficult uncle, or a terrible cousin, or a difficult brother or sister, or whatever. And it's not easy to stay in touch with them, because 2 minutes of a conversation, and you're like, I'd rather go, I gotta go. And you hang up. Much easier to talk to friends, much easier to talk to people that you get along with, that you have common interests with. Sometimes you wonder about people in your family, how are you and I genetically connected? I don't understand this. How are you and I from the same family? And you only see them, like some of you have non-Muslim family, you only see them every Christmas, or you only see them every Diwali or something, or you only see them, or we see some family only at Eid or something. It's really hard even getting through those 2-3 days with them. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has a very calm, you know, respectful, courteous temperament. He doesn't participate in the kinds of vile things that everybody in Mecca does. Do you imagine that his entire extended family is also pretty, you know, like dignified, calm, no parties, no drinking, no womanizing, no filthy words? No. His family is all kinds of crazy. And yet, he maintains family relations. And she says, this is one of the most noble things you do. So maintaining family relations is easy for people we get along with. Maintaining family relations with those that are difficult in our family, that's where the challenge lies, doesn't it? لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمْ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ. And you carry, meaning you carry the burden of, and you carry the stress of, you carry the worry of. Al-kal. Al-kal means someone who has nobody. Somebody who has nothing. Kalala is used in the ayat of inheritance for someone who has no relatives left. He's just by himself. Kal can also mean someone who's got no money left, no persons left, no friends left, no social circle left. Nobody invites them. They come to the masjid, they go, and nobody knows who they are. You know, they're not on social media, they don't have any friends, they don't know anybody, they're the only one in town. You find those people and you carry their burden. And you're there for them. They're for people who are nobody to anybody in society. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. And this is a really loaded phrase. There's lots of commentary about it. I'll share a few things with you. One of the meanings of وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ actually means you make the kind of money that nobody else can. Meaning you're so good at business, and you're so good at networking, and you're so good at making this, because he used to work for Khadija, right? Radiallahu anha. You're so good at it, nobody's as good as you are. What does that have to do with all of this? What it has to do with it, you're still good to family, and you take care of people you have no business taking care of, and you still take care of them, while other people who are good at business, and good at making money, they're usually terrible to their families, and don't care about anybody else, they just want to make the deal. And you make better deals than anybody else, you're better at tijara than anybody else, and yet still, you are so courteous and, you know, caring for everybody. This is a remarkable, unique combination that's not found. That only you carry. The other meaning of taksibul ma'doom could also be that you go out of your way to empower. Some have looked at taksibu in the meaning of tuksibu. You go out of your way to empower those that are isolated in society. Another meaning of kal is ma'doom, meaning those deprived, those who don't have work, those who don't have any opportunity. You go out of your way to help them find some kind of opportunity. You're constantly looking out for them, for people who nobody looks out for. وَتَقْرِدْ ضَيْفْ. And then on top of all of that, if that wasn't enough, you're very courteous to the guest. Anybody who comes, you extend hospitality to them. This is again for somebody who's in the world of business, who's already doing other humanitarian work. Somebody comes to their house, you say, this is not a good time, I gotta do this other stuff. Or you're entertaining a guest and you start kind of looking at your watch even if you don't have one on. Right? You're just kind of, you know, just to let them know that, you know. Or you start staring at your phone. Oh. Or you start doing this. Kind of letting them know, I think it's time you should go. She says, you're courteous to the guest, meaning people impose themselves, and he lets them. As a matter of fact, even after becoming a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sahaba would spend so much time with him, they didn't want to leave his company. It's getting late at night, and they don't want to leave. Obviously, who would want to leave the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And he's not going to say, guys, I'm pretty tired now, let me just get some rest, or my family needs some time. He won't say it. So Quran had to come and tell the Sahaba, go, leave him alone, it's late. Like literally ayat came down to tell, because he wouldn't say it. He's too courteous to say it. So Allah had to say it for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And this phrase is, again, comprehensive. It actually means, and you are there to throw yourself into aid over anybody who needs any rights fulfilled. I mean, you do any right cause that you find, and you're there to help. It's like you're already tangled in so many good deeds, but it's an opportunity to do something good comes, you're the first one lined up to do it. This is the kind of person you are. This is the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his wife. This is his description from his wife. What that means is you couldn't find a more accurate description, right? And she's describing his character in this way, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَانْتَلَقَتْ بِهِ خَدِيجَةُ. By the way, look at her confidence. She doesn't know Quran. Quran, I mean, whatever Quran came, he did share with her. Whatever was recited, he did share with her. By the way, that's remarkable, isn't it? Because it was given to him, he was told to read, and the third time Allah read, or Jibreel alayhi salam read those ayat to him, and now he knows them by heart. And he came down and recited those ayat to her, like he already knows how to read it. And then later on, we'll see he recited them again, like he knows how to read it, meaning Allah made him, from the very beginning, a hafiz. Like there was no review, or let me go, what was the ayah again, or what was the word, and no, it was done. And now he already came down a reader. Like the ma'ana biqari is gone. He's now the sahibul Qur'an. He's the person of the Qur'an now. So anyway, فَانْتَلَقَتْ. And so I was mentioning the faith of Khadija. Without the Qur'an even, she knows some things about Allah. And this actually indicates fitrah. Human nature, Allah put inside of us that we have hope in Allah that when we are good to Allah's creation, Allah will be good to us. Like, it's not something that you learn from a revelation. It's actually something that was predisposed inside of us. Good to be good to people, Allah will be good to you. You know, and she uses that formula and tells him, Allah will never be bad to you. You're so good to people, basically, isn't it? By the way, this is an interesting progression as far as surahs is concerned, because this is the formula we've been learning all along. That's the same exact formula that she's actually, it comes to her naturally, even without the assistance of revelation.